Picture this. It's Sunday afternoon, June 15th, 2026. The AI community is largely clocked out, you know, just enjoying the weekend.
Yeah, typical Sunday lull.
Exactly. And then, completely out of nowhere, a tiny team of just 9 researchers drops a 14-page paper on ArcSieve that effectively stops the entire industry in its tracks.
Well, the origin of the paper is what really sent shockwaves through the community. I mean, we are so conditioned to expect these paradigm-shifting moments to come out of OpenAI or Google DeepMind.
Right, the massive trillion-dollar tech conglomerates.
Exactly. But this came from Sina Weibo.
China's equivalent of Twitter, a company with a valuation of roughly $8 billion.
Which, you know, sounds like a lot of money.
Oh, to anyone outside the tech bubble, $8 billion sounds massive. Mm-hmm. But in the context of foundational AI development, that is less than 1% of OpenAI's scale.
It's a rounding error for the big players.
Yeah. Yet, these 9 researchers published a technical report on a model they call VibeThinker 3B. So for this deep dive, our mission is to synthesize their technical reports, the frankly rather chaotic community reactions, and the hands-on testing data.
Because we really need to answer one critical question here.
We do. We need to figure out if a tiny 3 billion parameter model genuinely matches 671 billion parameter giants, or if we are looking at the most elaborate benchmarking illusion in the history of AI.
And this is a profound challenge to the foundational dogma of AI development over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? The prevailing theory has always been that scale is everything.
More compute, more data.
Yeah, larger parameter counts. That was the only way forward.
Which is exactly why this paper is causing such a stir. By the end of this deep dive, you are going to understand exactly how those rigid scaling laws might be, well, fundamentally flawed.
Or at least far more nuanced than we thought.
Exactly. And even more importantly, we're going to look at what this breakthrough means for the future of the technology running locally on your own devices. Okay, let's unpack this, because the numbers we are dealing with here are completely absurd.
They really are. I mean, the raw data is the only reason anyone paid attention to a 3 billion parameter model in the first place. When you look at the AME 2026 math test,
which is incredibly hard.
Oh, it's a notoriously difficult Olympiad-level high school mathematics exam. It's literally designed to break advanced reasoning models. And VibeThinker 3B scored a 94.3.
Which means it perfectly tied DeepSeek V3.2.
Right. A model with 671 billion parameters. We are talking about a system that is, what, 223 times smaller, mathematically matching a frontier giant on complex multi-step logic.
The disparity is staggering. I mean, it's just wild. And it wasn't just theoretical math either.
No, not all.
On Live Code Bench, which evaluates executable real-world coding problems, VibeThinker hit an 80.2% success rate on the first try. It outright beat GPT-5.2's score, which was 79.5%.
Yeah.
But for me, the benchmark scores actually take a backseat to the sheer economics of what Weibo pulled off here. VibeThinker cost just $7,800 in post-training compute.
Yeah, less than $8,000.
When you contrast that with DeepSeek R1's estimated $294,000 post-training cost, or, you know, GPT-5's estimated total training cost pushing past $100 million, the math stops making sense.
It really does.
It's like watching a teenager build a homemade go-kart in their garage using spare lawnmower parts and like $7,000, towing it to a professional track and somehow lapping a $100 million Formula One car.
That's a great way to put it. And what's fascinating here is the immediate psychological whiplash in the developer community.
Oh, people lost their minds.
They absolutely did. You saw an almost instantaneous bifurcation into two highly entrenched camps. On one side, the believers view this as definitive proof that raw parameter count is just a brute force relic.
Right. Like, we don't need these massive models anymore.
Exactly. They argue that post-training techniques, basically how we refine and teach the model after its initial massive data ingestion, that is where the actual intelligence is forged.
But a 3 billion parameter model beating a 671 billion one defies everything we know about computational capacity. I mean, the skeptics must be screaming that the benchmarks are fundamentally rigged.
Oh, the skepticism was deafening. The immediate counterargument was that this is pure benchmarking.
Right, where a model is just meticulously overfitted to game-specific evaluation metrics.
Exactly, without possessing any actual generalized intelligence underneath. And predictably, the accusations of data leakage flooded in almost instantly.
Of course, that's the first thing everyone checks.
You have prominent voices on X, like Urkus108, posting, and I quote, "What the hell is happening in AI? I genuinely don't know if this is a breakthrough or if the benchmarks are broken."
Yeah, the confusion was real.
And at the same time, researchers like Francesco Bercolotti started analyzing the outputs, pointing out clear signatures of heavy RL distillation.
RL meaning reinforcement learning.
Yes, reinforcement learning. He hypothesized they essentially strip-mined the reasoning traces from larger models and just forced them into a final instruction tune.
Which, okay, going back to the analogy, if that go-kart is keeping pace with an F1 car, you absolutely have to pop the hood and inspect the engine for illegal modifications.
They have to.
Because the most obvious cheat code in AI benchmarking is having the test answers accidentally or, you know, intentionally included in the training data.
But the Weibo team clearly anticipated the leakage accusations because they preemptively structured a highly specific isolation test.
Right. The leak code holdout. Walk us through that.
So they subjected VibeThinker 3B to a rigorous temporal holdout test using leak code. They specifically evaluated the model on the leak code weekly and biweekly contests that were published between April 25th and May 31st, 2026.
And that temporal window is the absolute linchpin of their defense, right?
Exactly.
Because the model's training data cutoff was strictly finalized before April 25th. So there's physically no mechanism by which those specific coding challenges could have leaked into the training set.
They literally didn't exist yet.
Right, right.
And the results of that isolation test were pretty devastating to the leakage theory. VibeThinker passed 123 out of the 128 unseen questions on the very first attempt.
That's a 96.1% success rate.
It is. It didn't just pass. It outperformed GPT 5.2, Duvel C 2.0 Pro, Kimi K 2.5, and Claude Opus 4.6, all on entirely novel data.
Okay, but let me push back on this, though,
it's
because
okay.
If it definitively didn't cheat on the coding test, and we establish that it is genuinely synthesizing novel solutions to unseen problems at a 96% rate, why are hardcore skeptics on X, like Politolols, demonstrating that it fails completely at basic real-world coding?
That's a really valid question.
Right. Because they ran the full precision model locally and documented that it doesn't even know what the U script is. And that's currently one of the standard Python package managers. How can a model possess world-class algorithmic intelligence while simultaneously failing to recognize basic developer tools?
Well, that paradox is the crux of the entire paper. The researchers answered this through what they termed the parametric compression coverage hypothesis.
Okay, that sounds dense. Break that down.
To fully grasp what Weibo achieved, you actually have to look at where VibeThinker completely humiliated itself. And that was the GPQA Diamond benchmark.
The graduate level science knowledge evaluation.
Correct. On GPQA Diamond, VibeThinker 3B scored an abysmal 70.2. Meanwhile, a model like Gemini 3 Tro easily hits 91.9. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are looking at the fundamental architectural difference between verifiable reasoning and open domain knowledge.
So we are separating the mechanics of thought from the storage of facts.
Precisely. Verifiable reasoning, things like mathematical proofs, step-by-step algorithmic logic, deductive coding paths, that is highly parameter dense.
Meaning it's deeply compressible.
Yes. You do not need a massive neural network to store the rules of logic or the syntax mechanics of a programming language. You simply need a highly optimized pathway to apply those relatively few rules perfectly.
So a 3 billion parameter matrix is more than sufficient to hold complex logic.
Absolutely.
But open domain knowledge is the opposite. It is parameter expansive.
Exactly. We are talking about raw, uncompressible facts. Historical dates, pop culture references, or in the case of our Python developer, the specific ever-changing documentation of a tool like the UV script. Or the pandas library.
Right, because you cannot cleverly compress the documentation of a Python library.
No, you can't. To memorize a massive volume of disparate facts, you inherently require a massive volume of parameters to encode those specific weight distributions.
So VibeThinker is an undisputed genius at pure algorithmic logic, but it basically has zero capacity for trivia.
That's a great summary. It understands the syntax of Python flawlessly, but it hasn't read the manual for the latest libraries because its brain is literally too small to hold the book.
Wow. That drastically recontextualizes the achievement. Now that we understand what the Weibo team compressed the verifiable reasoning, not the expansive knowledge, we really need to look at the mechanics.
Wow.
Yeah, because squeezing frontier-level logic into a 3 billion parameter space requires incredibly aggressive optimization. So here's where it gets really interesting, because they utilized a highly unorthodox 4-stage training pipeline.
And the architecture of that pipeline is where the real innovation lies. First off, they did not train from scratch, which explains the low $7,800 cost.
Makes sense.
They used Qwen 2.5 Coder 3B as their base model and applied a framework they call the spectrum-to-signal principle.
Okay, so to fit a frontier-level brain into a tiny box, they had to be ruthless with their data curation right from stage one, the supervised fine-tuning.
Right, SFT.
Usually SFT is about broad exposure, but they did the exact opposite here, didn't they?
They aggressively filtered the data set. They actually evaluated their training problems using an older, weaker 1.5 billion parameter model.
Wait, they used a weaker model to check the data?
Yes. If that weaker model could solve a problem 75% of the time, the researchers just threw the problem in the trash.
Oh, wow. So they only kept the hard stuff.
Exactly. They also actively discarded any reasoning traces the step-by-step logic pathways that exceeded 5,000 tokens.
Which makes perfect sense computationally. If you feed a small model thousands of easy, verbose problems, you dilute the gradient updates, right?
You do. The model just wastes its limited parameter space reinforcing basic patterns it already knows, rather than optimizing for complex deductive leaps.
So you're forcing the model to concentrate its limited weight adjustments purely on highly dense, difficult logic.
Precisely. And once they stripped out all that noise, they moved to stage two, which is multi-domain reinforcement learning. They deployed an algorithm known as MGPO.
Maxent Guided Policy Optimization.
That's the one.
So instead of training the model on a random distribution of difficulties, MGPO dynamically targets the model's exact capability boundary.
Right.
It mathematically locates the precise threshold where the model's success rate plummets and forces the reinforcement learning to occur exclusively at that edge.
Yes, which is brilliant.
It reminds me of a brutally efficient basketball coach. Like, the coach refuses to let you practice the easy layups you've already mastered because that's just wasted time.
Yeah, you already know how to do it.
But they also won't let you practice half-court shots because you lack the foundational strength to hit them, meaning there's no real learning signal.
Exactly.
Instead, the coach forces you to spend 100% of your practice time shooting from the exact inch of the court where your shooting percentage drops below 50%.
That is the perfect analogy. It guarantees that every single compute cycle generates a meaningful gradient update. And to push the efficiency even further during this stage, they implemented a long-too-short math RL penalty.
Okay, how does that actually function under the hood? Because we know models tend to ramble when they use chain-of-thought reasoning.
They do. They generate tons of text.
Yeah.
So computationally, the long-too-short mechanism applies a negative scalar multiplier to the reward function based on token length.
Meaning
if the model finds the correct mathematical answer, but takes 3,000 tokens of rambling logic to get there, the RL algorithm heavily penalizes the reward.
Oh, I see. It systematically forces the model's internal representations to find the most direct, elegant, logical path.
Exactly. It's essentially compressing the reasoning process itself.
Which perfectly tees up stage three, distillation. They extract these highly optimized, elegant reasoning trajectories and distill them back into the model.
But they didn't just dump the data in.
No.
They used a learning potential score based on the model's perplexity. And using perplexity as a filter is just a brilliant way to measure learning value.
Break down perplexity for us really quickly.
Sure. Perplexity essentially measures how surprised a model's current weight distribution is by a given sequence of tokens.
Okay.
So the Weibo team evaluated the teacher model's reasoning trajectories against the student model. They specifically isolated the reasoning paths that were mathematically verified as correct, but that the student model yielded high perplexity on.
Meaning the student model's current architecture would not have predicted that specific logical leap on its own.
Exactly. It's hunting for the exact delta between what the model currently understands and what the frontier teacher model generated.
So you are injecting the absolute highest value learning signal directly into the model's weakest localized points.
You got it. And finally, they wrap this all up with stage four, instruct RL. Here, they deploy rule-based validators to enforce strict formatting constraints.
Rather than hoping the model learns the formatting naturally, they intercept the output at the token generation level.
Right. If the model breaks the required JSON structure or misplaces a think tag, the validator just forces a negative reward.
It's a highly curated punishing bootcamp designed entirely to forge pure logic.
The theory and the pipeline are absolute masterclasses in optimization.
Yeah.
But, you know, the transition from an ARCA paper to actual developer hardware is where the friction occurs.
Yeah, reality sets in.
The true test of VibeThinker 3B is what happens when you deploy it locally.
And the hardware requirements are honestly the most disruptive part of this entire narrative. Because it is only 3 billion parameters, you can run VibeThinker 3B on a standard consumer laptop with just 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Which is basically any standard laptop sold today.
Exactly. Using the GGUF file format for quantization, it takes up about 6 gigabytes of storage space. You don't even need a dedicated GPU. It runs seamlessly on a standard CPU.
And in the hands-on testing detailed in the community reports, its performance on core logic tasks remains completely intact locally.
Right.
It reliably hits that 80% success rate on both Olympiad math and algorithmic coding tasks. It effortlessly handles complex dynamic programming, sorting algorithms, deep search logic. It's all there.
But the real-world friction is glaring. The tests show a brutal 33% success rate when navigating modern Python developer environments.
Yeah, that's a steep drop-off.
As we noted earlier, it lacks the expansive knowledge to utilize the UIS script. It fumbles incredibly common data manipulation libraries like Pandas and NumPy because it simply hasn't memorized their expansive documentation.
Doesn't have the space for it.
Right. And it possesses zero tool calling architecture and cannot orchestrate external APIs. So looking at those localized failures, I have to ask, if a so-called coding AI cannot import pandas or orchestrate a basic web scrape, does it have actual utility for a software developer today? Or is this exactly the benchmaxing illusion the critics warned us about, just wrapped in a novel training pipeline?
Well, this raises an important question about how we define utility in the current AI paradigm.
Okay.
Is it benchmaxed? Yes. If your definition of utility is a drop-in replacement for a human developer.
Which it isn't.
No. You cannot integrate VibeThinker 3B into a software agency today and ask it to build and deploy a modern web application. It will critically fail because it lacks the connective tissue of open domain knowledge.
Right.
But labeling it a mere illusion fundamentally misunderstands the breakthrough.
How so?
The innovation is not building a better generalist. The innovation is proving definitively that complex, verifiable reasoning can be surgically extracted from expansive knowledge and compressed into a microscopic computational footprint.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Why should you care about a localized AI model that possesses genius-level deductive logic but fails a basic test on general software libraries?
You should care because this signals a massive architectural pivot for the industry. The tech and analysis in our source material articulates this perfectly.
Oh, I loved that part.
VibeThinker is not the death knell for massive trillion-parameter models like GPT-5 or Claude. Instead, it is the catalyst for hybrid architectures.
So we are moving toward a highly optimized division of computational labor.
Exactly. In the very near future, your personal hardware, your laptop, your phone, your local server will host a highly specialized, incredibly cheap micro model identical to VibeThinker.
Right on the device.
Yes. It will handle all the intensive multi-step logical reasoning, the complex mathematical deductions, and the core algorithmic structuring directly on your device.
And it'll do this with zero latency, complete privacy, and zero API costs.
That's the dream. But the moment that reasoning engine encounters a task requiring broad, expansive knowledge, like querying the specific syntax of a newly updated API or referencing historical data, it will seamlessly route that specific narrow query to a massive trillion-parameter generalist model in the cloud.
So it's like having a pocket-sized reasoning engine handling the logic, backed up by a cloud-sized encyclopedia handling the trivia.
Beautifully said. It's a remarkably elegant paradigm shift that solves the latency and cost issues of relying purely on massive data centers.
It really is. But looking at the broader implications of this paper leaves us with a deeply provocative thought to chew on. We have just definitively established that complex, specialized reasoning, specifically advanced algorithmic logic can be perfectly compressed.
Yep.
It can run flawlessly on an offline, consumer-grade laptop with just 8 gigabytes of RAM.
And we established that the post-training pipeline required to forge that logic cost an astonishingly low $7,800.
Which radically democratizes the creation of highly capable localized intelligence. So what happens when malicious actors realize the barrier to entry has completely evaporated?
A terrifying thought.
It is. What happens when a tiny, well-funded group decides to use this exact 4-stage pipeline to compress specialized hacking logic, or autonomous cyber warfare algorithms, or complex market manipulation reasoning into a localized, untraceable micromodel?
Up until June 15th, deploying superintelligent reasoning required a monitored, heavily regulated trillion-dollar data center.
Exactly. If someone abused the system, the central provider could simply pull the plug. But if a team of 9 researchers can build a pocket-sized genius for the price of a used car, how does the world regulate a superintelligent algorithmic reasoning engine that can run entirely offline in anyone's basement without ever pinging a central server? Something to think about the next time you see a tiny AI model making massive waves on a quiet Sunday afternoon.